Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your live connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Body, Mind, Spirit Radio and today's show, In Touch Interviews. I have the great pleasure of welcoming today's guest, Nanette Hucknall. Nanette is the founder and president of the Higher Self Yoga Association. She has developed and led higher self yoga classes and retreats for over 20 years throughout the United States and Canada. Higher Self Yoga Book 1 and 2 are the first and second volumes of a three-volume set of higher self yoga teachings. In addition to the work with Higher Self Yoga, Nanette has been a career therapist and psychotherapist for over 25 years. Her book, Karma, Destiny, and Your Career, has been translated and published in four different countries and is available in paper book or ebook editions or on audio tape. Her most recent book, How to Live from Your Heart, Deepen Relationships, Develop Creativity, and Discover Inner Wisdom, filled with exercises, anecdotes, and case histories, shows how to maximize one's life potential. She is here today to discuss her most recent book, To Live From Your Heart. So without further ado, I would like to welcome Nanette to the show. Hello, Nanette.
Hello, Courtney, and thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, thank you so much for being here. It's a pleasure to be able to interview you, and it's a pleasure to be able to talk to you about your new book. It came out in October, I believe, right?
October 20th, yes.
Awesome. Would you like to talk a little bit about, the book itself and how you felt inspired, or what was your inspiration to write it? I know you have such a long history, 25 years of doing a lot of different things. So I'm very interested to hear what was your inspiration behind this? What led you to this point of writing this book?
Well, first of all, I should mention that the heart that I'm talking about is not the physical heart. It's the heart that's in the middle of your chest. It's a center right in the middle of your chest in which you feel a lot of feelings, emotions, good emotions, also negative emotions. But it's also the part that's full of energy. It's a vessel of energy that's very positive and that flows out to other people. So what happened when I started working with the heart, it was a long time ago, actually, I was doing the psychosynthesis training, which is a formative, transpersonal type of therapy training, because I had started an organization called the Center for Peace Through Culture, and it had maybe 60 volunteers, and I wanted to get people skills. So in the training, I discovered the higher self, because that was part of the actual training, that you start to work with the higher self with people in therapy. And so one day a friend of mine came over and said, I don't know what I want to do with my life. I hate my job. I don't know what to do. I said, well, let me try an exercise with you. And it was the higher self exercise. And that started me becoming a career therapist. Now, when I started doing the career therapist, I developed a whole method of working with the heart. What I would do with my clients is, first of all, I'd have them connect to the heart. And I'll talk about that a little later. I'll have them connect to the heart. And then I had a whole list of categories, and I would say, they wouldn't see the categories. I would just say to them, okay, I want you to put the category of maybe science into your heart and see how it responds. Now, if there was a response, they would actually feel a movement or a warmth or a symbol. If there was no response, I would know that, well, their vocation definitely is not in the sciences. And I would go on going through all the categories. And at the end, I would take those responses and then start to work with the higher self, with the client, to help determine what their vocation was. So that's when I first started working with the heart. And then I did some workshops with the heart. And everybody at the workshop said, when are you going to write a book? When are you going to write a book? I finally decided to write the book, but main reason, too, is the heart is such an incredible instrument, and most people don't use it. They don't understand that it has a lot more they can do with their heart than just feeling love or compassion, that the heart has a lot more aspects to it that people don't use, basically. And that's what I wanted to – that's what I'm explaining in the book, and which is why I say it helps you in your relationships, it deepens your relationships, it's your source of creativity. And it's your connection to the higher self, which is the spiritual part within you.
I think a lot of people tend to, when they think of the heart, they either, A, think of it as an organ, or if they do think of it as a spiritual center, they always go back to the concept of a heart chakra, you know, but they don't fully understand how that works, you know, as well. So, and I find that you, you know, in your book, you definitely do talk about all of the things that the heart relates to, which is quite a lot. You know, do you, is that part of the reason why you put that knowledge out there, is because you feel like people maybe just don't understand it as much as they should?
Yes, and they don't use it. You know, we're in our Western world, everything is computers, iPhones, kids are, all they're doing is I'm on the iPhone all day long texting. And in schools, it's all testing. And there's no more creativity that's being taught to children that where they can actually start to use their heart to bring in that creativity. You know, when I was a kid, I remember taking a class when I was 11 years old in classical music. And we had to listen to music and then say what piece that we were listening to. It turned me on to classical music, but I didn't hear it at home. And I've been involved in classical music the rest of my life. I remember taking a history class. Instead of just reading a history book and doing it, we actually had to build a play around it and dress up in the costumes of that period. And it was fun. It was creative. It was wonderful. And there's none of that anymore with kids. So that's one of the things that really bothers me, is I see that our whole Western society isn't using the creativity, they're not using the wonderful access they have to the heart. They're not using it. They're just using their minds. Now, the mind is wonderful, but if you use the mind and the heart together, it's a wonderful combination that makes your everything very, very more advanced and expands your ideas.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that some people will talk about the mind being very logical and the heart being very emotional, and that you do have to kind of work with both. Can you talk a little bit about the heart, you know, what it can tap into, and heart energy, because you talk a lot about heart energy in your book.
Yeah, it's not just the emotions. This is one of the things that people think the heart's about. It's about, and it does, you do feel the emotions, by the way. You feel the energy of emotion, of love, compassion, all that in your heart. And you send that energy out to people. But you also feel anger. Your heart closes down when you start to feel anger and irritation. And that you hold that and puts it out to your body also, which can make your body ill. But the main thing that people don't really realize is that the heart is not just the emotions. I'll give you a good example of one of the exercises I do. First of all, I'm going to tell you why I do it. Years ago, a friend of mine started a business which we call Evolving Solutions, and we were doing team building in corporations. And we dissolved, we went into teams, and we would do a favor for the project a team was working on. We'd start off with doing brainstorming, where everybody sends out ideas and you put it on a blackboard. Then you cut down those ideas into maybe a basic five or six that you want to work with. So then we would say to them, and by the way, in those days it was mainly men, we would say, now we're going to do another process that we call heartstorming. And they said, what? Yeah, well, just listen to us. We want you to take each one of those ideas. You're going to do one at a time, and you're going to put the idea in your heart, right in the center of your chest. It's your heart center, or, by the way, it is also heart chakra. And you're going to put it right in the center of your chest, and you're just going to let it go and see what comes up. And they started doing that. They did that. And then a thought would come in that would take that idea and either expand it or deepen it or change it a little bit. And by the time we went through all the ideas and got through the process, every one of those ideas was so much fuller. It had so much more in it. And that's what we called heartstorming. So I had that same exercise in the book, in which you literally sit down with your mind and you think of whatever you're doing. If you're in a project, you're creating something in a project, you just, you know, you sit down in your mind, you figure it out, you put it all down. Then when you're finished, you take that all that you've written down and just put it in your heart and just let it go. and then just let the mind maybe come back in with an additional thought, additional thing that will change that. And it happens every time people do it. Because it, what is happening is you're starting to use all the creativity of the heart to expand it. And by the way, that's your feminine. The mind is the masculine principle, and the heart is the feminine. And the feminine holds all the creativity. And both men and women, by the way, have both these principles or these energies within them. My last book, by the way, I wrote is called, with a friend, the same business friend, is The Rose and the Sword, How to Balance Your Feminine and Masculine Energies. And that's one of the ways we, which we do it, is we work back and forth with those two energies, which is the mind and the heart.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because it seems like your writing is progressing, and I kind of felt that way when I read your book. It's almost like, have you ever thought about shoving them all together? I'm really curious to see where you're going to take this next, because it's almost like your writing is developing. You know, what you gain out of this book, you can gain so much out of the other things that you've written as well. So, you know, is there a development in the works? Are you in the process of writing something else or taking this even further?
Well, I have a novel that's finished. And which I'm just at the end of editing it, actually. And it's about this man's spiritual journey. And in that spiritual journey, he goes through all the doubts and fears and all the things that you might go through in a spiritual journey. And it's also got a romance in it. It's got a whole thing of romance and sex and everything else in it. But he actually writes a book. So within the first part is his story, his spiritual journey, and the second part is his book, which is about a man coming down from the mountains. He lives in the Swiss mountains, teaching higher self yoga. And the book is called Zarathustra's Journey, and it's kind of based a little bit on Nietzsche's book, Zarathustra's Journey, or Thus Spake Zarathustra. And it's about, again, a wise man coming down and teaching humanity about the higher self, the wise being within. So it's a combination. So, and what I like about the book, it really introduces the higher self on a level that people that don't know about it can understand it. Because the groups that he's teaching are people that have never heard about it. And they're Catholics and Protestants and they're all and Jewish. They're all kinds of people from different religious backgrounds. And they didn't understand about the higher self. They didn't understand what it meant. So he teaches about reincarnation. He teaches about all the aspects that are a spiritual journey. So that's my next
question. Well, I'll definitely look forward to reading that as well and hearing more about that. Do you have an estimated publishing date, like within the next year or so?
No, I'm actually at this point looking for an agent for it. So I'm hoping to get a good agent for it. I have a publisher now for my other books. In California called MSI Publisher, and they've been very, very good, but they only do the how-to kind of books, not the fiction books. So I really want to get an agent that will help me get have my fiction book.
Well, awesome. Book. I will definitely put the manifestation energy out there for you to find that person you're looking for to help you with that.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I'm also finishing my third book on the higher self yoga, which will be, and the books are really, the books have a lot of exercises in them because one of the things I've discovered, my background was Agni Yoga, and I had a spiritual teacher, and then I started teaching the higher self yoga. And one of the things I've discovered, even my spiritual training, is that the psychological is so important. That if someone has psychological blocks from their childhood, it's going to stop them from growing spiritually. So, and that's one of the reasons I did end up becoming a therapist, because I realized it's so important spiritually to look at those psychological blocks and work with the higher self in overcoming them. So my books have a lot of psychological content of making people more aware of what their blocks are and also more aware of their positive qualities. People have a lot of positive qualities that they haven't developed. And of course, I do believe in past lives, so I think a lot of those qualities are hidden, and it's really important to bring them out again and to use them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I definitely agree with you on that. You brought up the subject of the higher self, and for somebody who's just tuning in, who's just listening, can you talk a little bit about the higher self? I know that you mention it several times in your book, and you know, maybe somebody who's just tuning in has never heard of that concept or maybe doesn't understand it thoroughly. So could you talk a little bit about that? Because I know it relates very much to the heart center and the heart energy as well.
Yes, okay. Well, everybody has an ego self, and your ego self is how you function in the world, basically. And the ego self is how you do all the mundane tasks. It also is how you have relationships. All of that is with your ego self. And you have a lower self. And the lower self is when you get mad or irritated and angry at somebody, and also where you can be really nasty if you have those traits within you. So that's the lower self. But what people don't understand is they also have a higher self. And the higher self is their, not only their connection to the spiritual part of themselves, but it contains all your positive qualities. And it also has all the... It can also, because it understands you in everything that you do, it can help you psychologically. So in my book, I have several higher self exercises, how to get in touch with the higher self. And the more you work with the higher self and do the exercises, where you can actually do an exercise, you may see when you do the higher self exercise, you might actually see a being, or you just might feel in your heart this tremendous warmth or movement, or you just might, you know, might see a symbol even, or a sense, a real strong sense when you connect to it. But the higher self is there to help you, really there to help you. And if you have a problem with somebody or a problem in your life, if you literally ask the higher self, what do I do? Your higher self will give you a concrete way of handling it. If you're going through obstacles, the higher self can help you go through that what I call it. I don't call them obstacles, I call them challenges. And then after you go through that challenge, it will help you see what you need to learn from it. Because to me, challenges are obstacles that you face in your daily life, or things that you need to learn from. And often people go through the same challenge or obstacle, all the same kind of one all the time, because they have a... To me, it's always good to step back and say, okay, that was difficult. That just happened to me. Why did it happen, and what did I need to learn?
Mm-hmm. Well, one of my favorite exercises that you talked about in the book was the mirror exercise, and going over a scenario and the end of it and placing it in your heart and so forth, and kind of taking a look at that deeper, you know, mirroring that you know, that scenario. Because I think a lot of times when we are in a scenario or when we're dealing with not necessarily an obstacle, but something that is not working out for us, we fail to see beyond our own perspective. And
yeah.
I think that you really kind of covered that in the book, that, you know, part of being the heart center and so forth is not just seeing from your perspective, but also seeing from other standpoint as well, that it is more of a mirror effect from what I understand.
Yeah, in other words, if you I went through a difficult scene with somebody or a confrontation with somebody, it's important to literally close your eyes and relive that scene and see how dynamics that was happening. And you're really being disidentified from it, really not really observing it. And then redo the scene. And when you redo the scene, link with your heart and try to relive what would happen if you were in your heart when you did that scene. And then kind of look at it from above, see yourself and the other person and how you're interacting in this new scenario, and see the difference in terms of the reaction from the other person and the way in which you speak. Because I also go into things about our tone of voice, that people don't hear their own tone of voice. And a lot of times you get into situations or arguments with somebody and you don't realize how you sound, which makes the other person defensive. I had one couple, in fact, I was asked about this. I had one couple that came, and they were always arguing. They were married. They were thinking of splitting up because they were always arguing. And he said, "She's so bossy all the time." And she replied, "No, I am not bossy. I'm just asking you to help me with something. And when you help me with something, you don't." Yeah. And her voice was very bossy. So I said, "Okay." And then he would get angry and either not talk to her or get defensive and yell back at her. So I said, "Let's just redo this. I want you to hear yourself. Maybe tape it. Let's try to be in your heart and try to say that those same words to him by being in your heart. Just be in your heart first, connect, and then say those same words to him and hear how it sounds." And he said, "That sounded fine. I wouldn't mind helping her for doing that." So, and it turned out that she had a very authoritarian father who was always acting like that, and she's picked up that tone of voice from him. So, again, it's like looking at yourself in a complete way to be more aware of how you look, how you sound, and how you act with others. The other thing I say about mirroring, which I think is very important, is if someone comes to you and asks your advice about something, most often people will just immediately give them their opinion. They'll think, "Well, if I was her, I would do this. I would do this, this, and this," and give that person your opinion. And if you know the person well, you would definitely, give your opinion because you're on the knowledge that you know the person. But you're not necessarily listening to the person. You're not listening to hear when that person asks your advice if there's something missing that she or he is not telling you, or if there's something under this that the person isn't seeing. So instead of going back with your opinion, it's more important to go back with questioning the person. What, how do you really feel about this? What is it that you feel you need to do? Getting to another level. And when you do that, believe me, people that do that are loved by all their friends because they know they can go and talk to them and get a perspective that they have not seen themselves from that person.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of my favorite quotes that you wrote was, "The heart has inspiration to see many solutions to problems where the mind often only sees one." And I really liked that because to me, sometimes when you think with the mind, you can only see one logical course of action, the logical thing to do, what would make the best sense. But sometimes, making the best sense isn't always the right answer. It's that quote of sometimes the wrong thing is, or the right thing isn't always the smart thing and vice versa. So I really liked that because that brought that quote back up in my mind. And I do feel that you do portray in your book that is true, that the heart center can actually give you more answers, more solutions, more approaches. It kind of puts you in a state of mindfulness is basically the way I took it. And I don't know, was that what you intended, was to incorporate mindfulness or instill mindfulness in people?
Oh, yes. But mindfulness to me is using both of those instruments, the mind and the heart, because then it puts you in a place of really focusing and seeing things more clearly. It's very interesting. Years ago, I read an article in Forbes magazine about the differences between female and male managers. And they said, and by the way, we're going back again to the feminine and the masculine, because the heart's the feminine and the masculine. They said they found with women managers that they, when they had a project to do, they came up with several ways to solve it. They were looking at it from every different angle of how to solve it and the best solution. But one of the problems they had, they felt, was coming to a decision as to exactly the right way to go. It took them longer. And they said the trouble with men managers is they came up with one idea, And that was the solution, and they did it. And they did explore that there might be other ways of doing it, which the women did. So that's exactly what you're saying. So, and the article said it's really important that those two kinds of energies be used in the same, so that you come up with looking at the broader picture of what you need to do and different ways of resolving something, and then come to a decision as to which one is the right and go with it. And that's the reuse of those two aspects.
It's funny you bring up that scenario, because I'm actually dealing with that scenario at this moment in time with a few friends of mine, where somebody got offended, and one of my gentleman friends wants to take this course of action, and he's not taking a step back to look at it, to look at the situation itself, and to come up with the best solution. He just wants to handle it and be done with it. So, and of course, I'm on the back burner going, wait a minute, just wait. You know, you have to look at the situation from the full perspective. That might not be the best course of action just because it's the first course of action you think of. So I completely relate to that scenario right about now. And it's interesting because I always feel like, no matter what, things happen for a reason. So it's interesting that we're discussing this at this moment in time, and it's something that I can relate to. And your book gives those types of solutions and those exercises to look at those situations as well.
Yeah, I think that's great. I mean, that's a good example of what we're talking about. What you just told me about your man friend. And men have a tendency to do it because they're not getting in touch with their feminine. And women do the same thing. I was a manager for many years, and, you know, I've had to deal with some women managers that were much more masculine in the way in which they dealt with things. So it's about balance. You know, it's about balance. It's about using both. And men have as much of the feminine as women do, but they just don't use it. And, you know, what's interesting is if a woman has too much of the feminine, then, and I'm sure you know people like this, I do, that women that come up with these great ideas, great creative ideas, and they never manifest them. I have several women friends that told me, oh, that great idea, why don't you do it? I should do it. And they never do it because they don't have the masculine within them. They're not opening that up to make it happen. And the same thing with men. Men will just not, as we said, they will not take the moment to get to link with their hearts and get more of that creativity and flowing in terms of the ideas that they're putting out there.
Mm-hmm. So now that we've really went in depth with this subject, what is a good exercise to balance the feminine and the masculine? You know, you talk about it. What would be good to recreate that balance and recreate that balance within your heart center?
Well, first of all, the exercise to connect with your heart is a very simple one. It's just to focus on that center, which is right in the middle of your chest, and just put the thought in, I actually feel my heart center, and just focus on it, and you will start to feel a warmth. Now, people are very different in terms of how they experience something. Some people will feel warmth. Some people will feel an expansion, like it's expanding energy going out. Some people will see a symbol or a light. Or experience it in other parts of their body, but they know they're connected when they feel that. So when you have that kind of connection, and you also are working with the mind, as I said before, you might start off with the mind, with thinking of something that's creative, and writing it down what you might want to do, and then expanding it by then putting that into your heart and letting that expand. I think when you're an artist, a good example as an artist is, I'm an artist also, and I also have friends who are artists, and often when they close their eyes, they'll see a painting or something that they're developing, or sculpture. They'll actually visualize it. And that's coming from the feminine. And then they'll put down, they'll draw it or start, make a sketch of it or even start a painting. And that's putting it into action, and that's the masculine, putting it into action. But then you'll step back from that painting, and you're looking at it, and you'll look at it and step back, and you maybe it needs more of this, it needs more of that, and that's, again, working with the feminine. And then when you go and you go and do it, then you might have another idea of adding something to it. That's the masculine and the feminine working in unison together. And if you look at everything you do, if you're a businessman, if you're even anything you do in this business world, you can do the same thing. You can be working on a project, developing a project, and you can be doing that project and writing it out and on the computer and so on. But then you sit back just for a minute and look at it and say, am I missing something here? Let me link with my heart and just look at it. And start to, you know, when you start to do that consciously all day long, and I mean all day long, if you start to consciously try to remember to link with the heart, you'll find that your focus is so much better and that you'll actually be much more productive during the day and that you'll get things, you'll be much more clear-headed and mindful of what you're doing and get it done and focused and finished. And you don't go through, doing a million things at the same time. You can do something and finish it and then go to the next. But if you just consciously, and I think that book goes into that, to remember just to take that minute to link with your heart. And the more you do that, the more you start doing that in everything you do all day long, it becomes part of who you are. Just like your mind is part of who you are, you use it all the time. It's about making the heart also part of who you are on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. And do you find by doing this, that's what creates that balance, correct?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Well, you talk about a lot of different things in your book, and you give so many different great exercises as well. I know that one of the things that people are going to look at right off the bat, because it's on the front of your book, is deepening relationships. You know, a lot of people are always concerned about their relationships and always concerned about their love life or how they're dealing with their personal relationships when it comes to significant others and spouses. So I did want to cover that section just a little bit in depth for those people who are curious about it. So relating to your heart center and connecting to your heart center, how does that affect your personal relationships and how does that deepen them?
Well, I think what happens, I mean, things that happen in relationships are always sometimes even small things that get into big things and you get into arguments. It's about really starting to be more discerning in terms of how you approach your partner if there's something wrong. I'll give you a good example. In one of my recent interviews, the host said to me, my husband never puts down the toilet seat. It drives me nuts. I get so I get so mad at him. How would you handle that? I said, well, one of the things I do while I was doing couples therapy is I tell my couples that once a week you should sit down for an hour or half an hour, for an hour, have a nice breakfast together or something, and go over the past week and say, you'll tell your partner, when you did this, it was really great. I love it when you do this, and I love it when you do this. And just be really positive of all the good things that person did that week that really you noticed. And then say, but sweetie, when you don't put down that toilet seat, it really bothers me. Instead of saying, oh, put down that toilet seat, instead of screaming at the person. And she said, that's wonderful because he's a pleaser. He'll love that. I'm sure he'll do it. But it's about just that. Never, if something really bugs you and that things get, and I think the other problem that the couples have, and I think it's true of a lot of couples, is they don't communicate to each other. They really don't communicate in terms of, certainly it's true of other people I've worked with, they don't communicate how they really are feeling. So they get angry and they'll get angry or irritated at their partner. And then instead of doing that, to really, if someone, say, for example, someone says something nasty to you, a partner says something nasty to you, or even a friend, you get upset and they'll go back at them. So instead of doing that, just let it go and just take a minute to really be calm. If you can't be calm, then just say, I'll talk to you later about this. Get yourself back into a feeling of real calmness. And then when you approach the person, say, you know, when you said this to me, it made me feel this way. Instead of saying, how dare you say this to me, and hit the person over the head, you respond back in terms of how it made you feel. And so I think that just, you made me feel this way. So let's talk about how we can change this. You know, how we can talk in a way that we can hear each other in a way that's nice. You know, and trying to do it from the heart. But it's hard. I mean, it's really hard when you get into a fight with somebody. It's really difficult to do that. But the more you can do that, the more you can really develop that relationship and communicate those things. Really communicate. And not just stuff it down. You know, people have a tendency, I don't like this, but I'm not going to say anything to the person. I'm not going to confront the person. No one likes to confront people. And it's really important to do that. And I think that's one of the...
Well, I think that you bring up a good point with the word communication. I think that a lot of us fail to do that. And I think that not only do we fail to do that to deepen our relationships, but we seem to kind of fail to do that with ourselves as well. And that is really, you know, part of what your book is about is deepening that relationship with ourselves, deepening our communication with ourselves as well.
Well, yeah, definitely. Most definitely. That's so important because, again, people have a tendency to if something bothers them, to repress it. To repress it. And they, you know, this is a tendency that people do from childhood. And a lot of the therapy I've done is to bring out the feelings of the anger and the irritation, all the things that you feel as a child that you repress because you're afraid to express them. So I think you carry those tendencies into your adult life. So a lot of times when you're with somebody, that even a close friend, and they say something that really bothers you, you don't respond. You just repress it, let it go, and say, I got to let that go, and just let it go. So it's important to really communicate it and really find out what the person is really saying. Because sometimes a person will say something and they don't really realize that they're hurting somebody's feelings when they say it. And that's another thing that needs to happen, is to really let out those feelings and talk about it.
Well, I think you bring up a valid point. It's okay to feel, and it's okay to express what you feel. And I think that, you know, it kind of goes back to what you said in the beginning, you know, with so many people using technology and so many people engrossed with phones and computers and so forth, we forget to feel, we forget to communicate, we forget to express because, you know, there's easier ways to do it and there's easier ways to avoid it. You know, but that doesn't mean that it shouldn't still be done.
No, yeah. And if you're, you know, you can sit on your computer all day long, but when you're sitting with someone you love, you want to be able to communicate and talk to them. And I think people have lost the art of talking, actually, because they're writing all the time and texting all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But that's another
so
area that bothers me, is that, you know, that there's no expressing and talking. You don't, I have friends that have children. I don't have any children, but they go literally crazy because the kids will come to the dinner table and start to be texting their friends. And they get really mad if they're told not to do it. They're told not to do it. So they get mad at their parents or they're mad at their, I have a friend whose granddaughter comes and does it all the time and she tells her, put it away, and she won't do it. And she gets very angry with her grandmother. You're not letting me do what I need to do. And so they don't talk. So you come to visit me, let's talk. You know, what are they going to talk about?
Yeah, it's so interesting you bring that up, especially around the holidays. You know, I can tell you that the last time I went out to dinner with my parents, they pulled out their cell phones as soon as we sat down. And, you know, my first inclination was to pull out mine. And then I looked at them and I said, you know, I don't get to go to dinner with you guys very often. You know, I'm lucky if I get to see you guys once a month. I have a really busy schedule. Put your phones down. You know, and enjoy the moment. And here they are tagging the restaurant and tagging that we're here, and they're on social media letting everybody know what they're eating for dinner, and I'm like, hello, put your phone down. So I definitely agree with you on that there needs to be more talking, you know, but, you know, more talking not only with the people that we're in the room with or the people that we're in public with, but also talking to ourselves too. So, and that's one of the reasons why I really enjoyed the book, was because, you know, you're getting to the nitty gritty of that in a way, and how to live from your heart, because that is such it is a vital organ, but it's also a vital center of your being.
Yeah. I think I love your story. I just reverse what I'm saying. Your parents were doing it. And how old are your parents?
Oh, my mom is 50, and my he's my stepfather, but he is a father figure to me. He's getting ready to turn 50 in January as well. So it's interesting, but I'll have to say this. I come from a background of depending heavily on technology. I was raised in the technology age. I was, you know, I run a business, I run radio, I run a lot of things. So I'm so heavily engrossed in technology because it's a big, important part. You know, even radio, doing radio, it requires technology and social media and so forth. So when I am able and capable of getting away from it, I want to get away from it. So, and those moments usually come up when I'm with family or when I'm with friends, because, you know, I'm taking the time to spend the time with you and to communicate and to see how you're doing and so forth. And yet you're on the phone and I really just want to throw mine out the window. So I guess I come from a little bit of an opposite perspective of that. But it's interesting because I think that even the older generations are starting to depend heavily on that form of communication rather than talking. And it's not a good thing. I don't believe it's a good thing.
Yeah, well, I have an iPhone, but I just learned how to text it. I have to be a very bad speller, and so I hate texting. I just hate texting, because if I'm on the computer and write an email to somebody, I can use my spell check on it. So but I discovered the microphone. I can actually talk into the text thing, which is because the phone can spell much better than I can. So I can do that, which is really. But I had to learn that. I had to learn a computer because I grew up, believe it or not, I didn't have television when I grew up. We didn't get I didn't get television until I was 18 or something. My mother got a television set, and I've already left home by that time to go to college. So I grew up with books and radio. So, and I really love them. And that's one of the things I think, the reason I became a writer, too, is I really love reading books and all of that, and just engrossing myself in reading books every day, every single day when I came home from school. So I didn't have the TV to watch and listen to. And I think that it was probably very good for me in terms of being more creative. But I'm much older than you. So I didn't come from any of that technology stuff, but I had to learn it because I was an art director for many years. So I had to actually learn how to design on the computer and learn all the design programs. So I had to get involved in all the technology later on in life when I was more your parents' age. That's when I had to get involved in all the technology. So I do know that myself in terms of the work I do. So but it's never taken over back my love of reading. I still read a lot, so...
Oh yeah, I love books. That's one of my things. You give me a book and I'm hooked. So I can definitely relate to that. But it's interesting how technology can actually affect the higher self and communication. And I think that a lot of us don't realize how much it does in our daily lives. So you bring up a lot of valid points. I know we're getting down to the last 15 minutes of the show. You give a lot of exercises in the books. And you cover a multitude of subjects in the book as well. Is there some exercises that you would like to share with the listeners that they can do, some of the material in the book that you would like to share with the listeners as well?
Well, I'll give you an exercise that after having gone through this really really awful election in terms of negativity. There's an exercise. Someone asked me, "But what can I do in terms of what's happening in our country?" And I think what's happening in our country on the news every day is awful. So I came up. I linked with my heart, and what I got was, and this is just an exercise that I just got, is first of all to pray. To pray that the new system, the new political system, will be positive and help the people of the United States. And then I said, and then may I link with my heart and send heart energy to those people that will try to do that. Because one of the things I really believe in is that we can help our country, we can help other people by sending positive energy to those places that need it. And that if everybody started doing that, that would really develop those areas. I meditate every day, obviously, and when I meditate, I always try to send heart energy to those areas in the world that need help, to all those areas like in Syria that are going through such horrors. And if people did that, you have to realize that the heart does send out energy. When you're thinking of someone that you love, that person's picking up that thought. And that person, in turn, might call you. I just started thinking about you. I'm sure you've had that happen, where you suddenly call somebody and they say, I've just been thinking about you, or vice versa. And it's because mm-hmm. your heart energy is actually being sent to that person. And if everybody really, once a day, just say, may I send my energy to an area that really needs help, that needs, if there's an earthquake somewhere, if you could send your energy, positive energy, to those people in an earthquake, where the earthquake is, that energy is vibration that helps the area. It really helps the area. I know the Maharishi years ago had started organizations all around the planet to meditate on a certain day of the year. All the organizations all over the world would meditate on peace that day. And he really believed that if everybody around the planet meditated one day of a year for peace to happen on the planet, that it would happen, that it would manifest. So that's an exercise that I think I might even mention that in the book at the end when I talk about the planet and the world, is that it's really important to realize that your heart is that thing of energy, that has enormous energy. And it can flow to other people that need it. And I think I read somewhere where the Dalai Lama was asked at one of his meetings, India is full of all this poverty. We can't give money to everybody that's begging on the streets. And he said, no. He said, you can give money to those people once in a while that you can. But if you send love from your heart to those people on the streets, that will help them, and that will help them a lot. But I thought that was a beautiful quote.
Very much so, and I think that sometimes we forget that it's not always about the biggest thing that we can do as much as it's just the simplest thing that we can do that will make the difference.
Yes, most definitely.
Mm-hmm. Well, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I, what I was going to say is, you know, you share a lot in the book, and I really hope our listeners read it, because it's very beautifully and eloquently written, and it covers so much in detail, and I liked all the exercises, which is really what a book should have. You know, I felt like you covered such an in-depth area, and yet you gave so many inspiring exercises and so many easy exercises for people to do to help. And that's really what the book is. It's a way to help. You know, was there anything else you would like to share with our listeners, you know, about the book itself, or is there a few things that you would like to leave with the listeners today about the books or that you've written, including this one, maybe some upcoming classes or anything that you're up to as well?
Okay. Yeah. Well, first of all, the book also has a lot of stories in it, because I love to write stories to illustrate the exercises. And I think that's important because it makes it much more fun to read. Yes, you could. I have a website. My website is Nanette, N-A-N-E-T-T-E, V as in victory, and Hucknall, HUCKNALL.com. And I have all my books on there. And I also have, I've done a lot of television recently. I just came back from a tour out west. So all my interviews are on there. On my website also, and also I have a Facebook page, which is Nanette V. Hucknall, and I have a lot on my higherselfyoga.org is my organization, so you'll see a lot of things on there. And on the organization one, higherselfyoga organization website, I have a lot of quotes from the books. I have we have a virtual class that we started for people that want to come online and ask questions. We have a children's section. We also have a nature section and a men's section. And these all have different quotes from the teaching and questions and answers from the people coming online. So anybody wants to know more of the higher self, I would suggest going to our website. That would be very knowledgeable. It would give you a lot more knowledge on it.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know when I read, your bio and so forth, that you do seminars and so forth. Do you have any of those coming up as well, or anything in the works for the new year?
I always do a retreat for my students. I have quite a few students in Canada, but I am doing, locally, I'm doing a couple of things here, a couple of workshops on the higher self. Not the higher self, it's the heart book, actually. And I'm probably planning to do some more next year. I have to really get to sit down and look at my whole schedule and decide what I want to do with those. But we'll be doing classes online. So as I said, people are interested in the higher self just to, you know, go on and sign up for a class online. We are going to be doing class on a regular basis.
Well, I definitely recommend the listeners take advantage of that opportunity. Was there anything from the book that you would like to leave us with today that maybe we didn't give the opportunity to cover? Because there's a lot in there, and I will tell people that there is a lot in there. It is a really good read, and it will definitely make you do some thinking, which is good. So it'll help you connect to that heart center and transform your life. So is there something you would like to leave the listeners with today?
Well, my opening quote from Buddha. Buddha said, "The way is not in the stars, but in the heart." And so, I would like my readers and the people listening to really start to understand that their heart is such a beautiful instrument that they need to really start to develop and practice using. And the more they do that, the more it's going to change their lives. It's going to change who they are in terms of feeling a peace within. In other words, I have found from the years of doing this that I don't get irritated about things anymore. I don't get upset about things. I don't in any way get agitated if something goes wrong in my life. I just kind of look at it and I stay calm. And that is so good for your body. It keeps your body really more healthy. Because once you get irritated, it causes your body 24 hours to be not functioning correctly. So I think the main thing is to realize that when you start to really live with your heart, live from your heart, that it's going to change your life in terms of how you react to others, how you feel about life. That would be the main thing that I would want to stress to people.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for allowing me to interview you and allowing me to read your book. I actually did get to read it before it came out, and it did come out on October 20th. It was released. So thank you for that, and thank you for this opportunity. It was wonderful to be able to speak with you, and thank you for putting this information out there for the listeners and for the readers and so forth. You truly inspire, and whether you know it or not, that is a wonderful thing.
Oh, thank you so much, Courtney, and thank you very much for having me on your show. And I should also mention that I do have a page on Amazon, so all my books are on Amazon too, if you want to go online and see them. But thank you. I really enjoyed talking to you, and have a wonderful
time. Thank you so much. Yes, you too. Have a wonderful holiday season and a wonderful rest of the year.
You too. Okay, bye now.
Bye-bye. And definitely, it would make a wonderful gift, with the holiday season coming just around the corner. Christmas is, oh my gosh, about a month away. This book would make a wonderful gift for anyone. So definitely take that into consideration. If you're just tuning in, I had the wonderful opportunity to interview Nanette Hucknall. She joined the show to discuss her book, How to Live from Your Heart, Deepen Relationships, Develop Creativity, and Discover Inner Wisdom. It was released on October 20th, and it's about understanding heart energy, how that energy can work for you, attaining and retaining emotional balance, connecting to you and to the higher wisdom, and so much more. So I highly recommend you pick this up. It is a wonderful read. Like Nanette mentioned, it includes some wonderful stories, wonderful exercises to help you connect to that heart center and to that heart energy, which we all need to do. If you did not get a chance to listen to this full interview, you can go to bodymindspiritradio.com, click on In Touch Interviews, and it is there, along with all of Nanette's information, including the link to her website, which, again, is nanettevhucknall.com. That link can also take you to her website where you can purchase her books. And her books also are available on Amazon.com. I want to wish her a wonderful holiday season. Thank her again so much for allowing me to interview her, and wish her the best. And we look forward to seeing what she brings forth in the future. Thank you so much, and everyone have a wonderful rest of the evening. Bye-bye.